All right, as we are walking through this life of Christ, as we are looking at what he did, how he taught, I'm kind of getting into a little bit of an excitement time in this because I love the parables. I do. I love the stories that Jesus told. I love how he told them. They make you think. They sit there and they will sometimes even hurt your head. And I actually, at one point, in one of my Bibles that I have, because I have a multitude of Bibles that I've used throughout my Christian life and my career as a pastor, I would take the parables and I would print them out and I would actually insert them into the back of my Bible. And I've always wanted to preach on them, and I honestly, other than a few, I've never really tackled the subject of the parables. So for the next couple weeks, I think we're going to be looking at a few of the parables. I won't go through all of them, but I will go through some of them just because I really enjoy them. And today we're going to be looking at Mark 4 and this parable of the sower. I'm sure you've all heard it, but this was actually known as the key to the parables. Jesus actually says, if you can understand this parable, you can understand the rest of them. So it's probably a good place for us to start, even as his disciples kind of would ask the question, and we're going to get into this. And I think this, again, talking about evangelism and stuff like that, parable of the sower is a perfect way to start. But as I read this parable and as I talk about this parable today, one of the things you have to understand is that, you know, this has some pretty hard-hitting stuff in it. And actually stuff that we would look at and go, ooh, is that okay to say as a Christian? Well, again, I think, you know, even talking about last week, you know, Jesus was honest. He did it with love, but he was honest. And as we share our faith, as we talk to people, we have to be honest. So let's look at the parable of the sower. We'll go ahead and just start in verse 3, if that's okay. We'll start in verse 2. It says, he taught them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, listen, consider the sower who went out to sow. As he sowed some seed, seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and it grew quickly since the soil wasn't deep, but when the sun came out, it scorched it, and since it had no roots, it withered away. Other seed fell along the thorns, and it came up and was choked, and it didn't produce any fruit. Still, other seed fell on good ground, and it grew up, and it produced fruit that increased 30, 60, and 100 times. Then he said, let anyone who has ears hear this lesson. Now, I'm going to stop right there, and we'll jump to what Jesus explains this parable. But, you know, at this time, we understand that there are people who are wanting to hear Jesus. They're wanting to gather around and they're wanting to understand what he is saying because they know that he is saying good things. A lot of people in this time knew that he was something special. They knew that he was coming from God. They didn't necessarily believe that he was God. And they were trying to hear these things, these godly messages from Jesus. Because they knew, they thought maybe he was a prophet. What he was God. They just didn't realize it. And Jesus would then teach them, and not just do signs, but he would teach them these things, and he would do so in a way that would make them think. Now, I would challenge anyone, if you want to think, listen to like a theology class. And with technology nowadays, you can sit there and you can download these things and you can listen to these things and your head can hurt too. Because I'm telling you, you will sit there and get into these things and it will make you hurt. And then you will go, well, if you're doing it at home. I remember when I first got into Theology 1. Theology 1 and 2 in Bible college, I would sit there and I would listen to these things and I would have my notebooks and I'm writing all this stuff down and I'm writing down all the references, all the verses that my teacher has given me. And I would go home and I would just sit there and stare at a wall and think. And my head would hurt. And I did night class. So I would get home at like 10, 10:30 at night, then realize it's like 12:30, and my little baby is crying in the other room because she just woke up and she wanted food. And I'm like, I can't do a bottle and think theology. Sorry, Olivia. No, but see, we sit there and we think about these things. And even when you get into theology and when you get into the things of the scriptures, they will make you think. When you sit there and you think about what the afterlife is going to be like, when you sit there and you think about the Trinity, when you think about what the Old Testament said pointing to Jesus, when you think about these things, but then Jesus does it in parables, so that throws another wrench into it, because then you got to try to figure out what he's trying to say. It's like, come on, Jesus, just give it to us. Naturally, some of the people that were listening to this, they just kind of gave up. They were like, Jesus, I was here because I was hoping for a miracle. I got this, bum knee, and I was just kind of hoping you would, wave your arm around it, maybe throw some mud on it like you do, and just heal me. But, okay, you're starting to get a little deep, so I think I'm out. By the way, that's a paraphrase. But you had people like this. They would follow Jesus. They would sit there and they would follow him because he would do these amazing things. He would say these amazing things. But once they started to make him think, they'd be like, okay, I don't get it. So I'm just going to come back when you start doing the healing stuff. Actually, it says in verse 10, when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked about this parable, and he answered them, "The secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to those outside of this, everything comes to them in parables, so that they may indeed look, yet not perceive. They may indeed listen, and yet not understand. Otherwise, they might have turned back and been forgiven." Meaning that those who were listening to this and turned away were just kind of into it for their own personal motives. Now we have a set of ground here that we have to look at and what the seed was thrown onto and even what the sower was doing, because it is even told there. But first, let's look at the type of the seed that was sown and where it was thrown. First, in verse 4, you had the seed that was just thrown on the ground where the birds came to devour. And then in verse 5, you have it put on the rocky ground where there wasn't much root. And then you had it thrown in the thorns, that the thorns would basically strangle the plant. Then in verse 8, you had the good ground. So there we have our four parts. And John MacArthur says this. He says, this is how the gospel is thrown out through the world. And difference of responses. So we understand in the meaning of this, in verse 13 and following, the disciples, they didn't understand. Then he said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. Some are like the word sown on the path. When they hear it, immediately Satan comes and he takes it away. He takes the word sown to them. Others are like the seed sown on the rocky ground, where they hear the word and immediately they receive it with joy. But they have no root and they are short-lived. When disaster and when persecution comes because of the word, they immediately fall away. Others are like the seed sown among thorns. Those are the ones that hear the word, but they are worriers of the age and about their wealth and the things they desire on this earth and other things that enter in and choke the word. It chokes it. And it becomes unfruitful. Then verse 20 says, and those are like the seed sown in the good ground. Hearers of the word who welcome it and produce fruit. Produce fruit of 30 and of 60 and of 100 times that was sown. So Jesus, then he comes and he explains this, the meaning of this parable. And again, I think a lot of people sometimes, they just sit there and they look at these parables as just these good stories that Jesus told. In fact, I told you about the conversation I had with the Jehovah's Witness last week, and I do have an update on that story. Because I found out where he got my information, and now he is going through all of the Missouri Baptist Apologetic Network and calling them. I don't know what he was thinking. But now I also have his email. I know, right? See, well, he's, you know, it's funny because I got a call from another person on the network, and he said, hey, I just got a call from this Jehovah's Witness. And I said, yeah. And we started talking about how the conversation went. Same guy. And went, wow. You know, first of all, we had the same responses to him. But he's just going through the network, calling each person on it. Because he believes, as a Jehovah's Witness, he is working for his salvation. So he thinks every conversation he gets, and again, I say conversation loosely. And in our like 50-minute conversation, I got about 5-10 minutes worth of speaking. But I did bring up a parable to him. And he said, and like many other people in our world, that these parables and even stories in the Bible are just that, just good stories. They never really happened. And when Jesus was saying this sort of stuff, he was just telling these stories so that people might get something out of it, might get something better. But here's the thing, was that these were not just cute stories. In fact, this was stuff that was so important for salvation and how we, even now, produce the word and how we reach out to people. See, the meaning of this parable that Jesus said was he equaled the birds to Satan. He equaled the rocky ground to the false converts, the thorns to the world, and the good to the true believers. Now, I could sit here probably all day and talk about all four of the grounds, but I'm only going to pick two. Because again, I did mention that there is food warming up in the back. But I want to talk about two. And I think this will take I don't want to scare you with quite a while. But this will take the rest of our sermon time. I want to talk about the rocky ground. And naturally, I want to talk about the good ground. Why do I want to talk about these two? Well, you know, these are the two that I think are mainly important in our day and age. Why am I going to talk about the good ground? Well, that's salvation right there. That's easy. But what about that rocky ground? I want to read the rocky ground one again, and it says this. And others, verse 16, as my voice decides to crack, like, you know, I'm 13 again. Verse 16 says, and others are like the seed sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy. But they have no root. They are short-lived. And when disaster and persecution comes because of the word, they immediately fall away. Now, I've mentioned many times here and other places, that word immediately is all throughout the scriptures. That word immediately It is there when Paul heard the gospel for the first time and he was healed. He immediately went and started talking about Jesus. Other places talk about this idea immediately. People did things. And again, you have it here as well, where it says immediately they received the word with joy. Now see, right now we can look in our world and we can understand that when people hear this gospel, there is a huge emotional response to it. You know, some people have this emotional response that is an idea of going, I was a sinner, I was a bad person, but now I'm saved. And then there's some people that just say, hey, that sounds really great. I'm really pumped up right now, so I'm going to accept this Jesus thing. Unfortunately, our churches nowadays, not ours because we are the best church in the world, but there are churches nowadays that feed off the emotions of the people. I remember one time I went to there was a sign in our town that said free rock concert. So thinking, me and my buddy were out one night and we went, let's go to this rock concert. Let's see what it's about. And we get there and there's a little group of people there and we walk up. And remember, this is before cell phones and stuff like that. So we had no idea what was going on there. We just saw free and rock concert and we were bored on a Saturday night. And then we go and it's a Christian rock band, a local one from St. Charles. So we decide to stand there and listen to it. And this was before I was a Christian. But they got to the time where they were sharing the gospel. And they started playing the light music. I mean, it was a rock concert, but they went into the light music. And then they had people kind of staged within the crowd. And they were like, if you're feeling anything, just come forward. And then I started feeling a hand on my back. And I'm going, what is going on? You know, and I had a guy pushing me to the forward. Like, don't you feel something? Don't you feel something? I'm like, yeah, I feel your hand. Oh, that's the hand of God. What? But they pushed me up forward, told me to close my eyes and pray this prayer. And then they handed me a Bible. And I went, what just happened? You know, I tell that story kind of in a joking way, but there's a lot of churches that do that. There's a lot of things that do that. Unfortunately, this has caused a lot of people to be what is known as false converts. These people that immediately have this joy, but they're not rooted in anything. You know, in Colossians, and I'm going to have to turn here because I didn't mark my place, so give me just one second. But in Colossians, it actually tells us. This took longer than I thought. In Colossians 2:7, it says this. I'm going to read verse 6 and 7. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught and overflowing with gratitude. You know, those set of scriptures tells us, and even in the parable, that when our roots take firm into Jesus, we actually have to grab onto something. Right? Now, if any of you are going to build a fence post, say you're going to do a 5-foot fence post, right? You're not going to dig your hole to stick your post in just a foot, are you? No? Anyone? Some of you are looking at me like, yeah, we know this, Pastor. You're going to dig deep. You're going to dig deep into that ground to make sure that that fence does not fall over. And the same thing is with our Christian faith. We just don't sit here and immediately be filled with that joy and say, okay, I just got Jesus, I'm done. I don't need anything else. No, we have to have roots in our faith. Roots that are deep in the faith. And that takes time where we are studying. That it takes time where we are attending church. That it takes time for us to sit under someone teaching us the word. As Jesus was preparing his disciples for what was going to happen, as they would step foot on the day of Pentecost and start what we are doing now, he was letting them know, you just can't sit there, tell them some good stories, and then leave them. That is why when Paul was building up churches, he was finding these men. And he was sitting there and he was teaching them and making sure they were ready. He would be there for a time and then he would leave. But then he was always communicating with them. Always saying, I hope to come to see what is going on. He was teaching them. Sometimes he was even rebuking them. But he left people there. See, here's the thing, is that in this idea of these false converts, these people who say they are Christians but fall away, and we have all heard the saying of people that have said, well, yeah, I accepted Jesus back when I was 10, and then I did it again when I was 13, and well, then I went to summer camp when I was 16, and I know I'm 30 right now, but I'm going to finally do it, give my life to Jesus again. Not the way it works. I mean, we can backslide. But if you fully, truly give your life to Jesus, if that seed was thrown on the good ground, you're not going to fall away. See, immediately when persecution and things like that come, immediately we will see people fall away. Even as we read in the scriptures about the end times, we see that people will fall away. See, there are three things that will expose a false convert. First, it's tribulation. If there are trials, if there are problems, if there are difficulties in your walk with God, which will happen, well, the false convert will consistently fall away. Because maybe they were told that if you accept Jesus in your life, everything's going to be fine. Everything is going to be perfect. Maybe you should reread and see what happened to the apostles, to see what happened to our Savior, because he was hung on a tree because he said he was God. Trials, problems, difficulties, this all brings tribulations and they fall away. The second thing is temptation, those opportunities to sin. Now, I sit in with the senior adults Sunday school class today because they were doing a Bible study on my favorite chapter, John 3. And I will listen to that. I will listen to that teaching. It doesn't matter where. And I literally stopped what I was doing and sit down so that I could be in this one more time. And listening to that, listening to John 3 and talking to Nicodemus and all of that, we understand that people will hear this message. They will immediately go with it with joy. They will immediately do this, but then they will see things. And in John 3:3, it says you have to be reborn to see the kingdom of God. What does that mean? That means a complete transformation. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have struggles, we're not going to have temptations, but when these things happen, we don't take the opportunity to sin. We don't sit there and say, hey, you know, I know I'm a Christian, but my buddies are going to the lake and, you know, there's this really good spot with, you know, all the fun stuff, and I'd much rather do that than live a Christian life. Also, when persecution comes, we will see false converts fall away. This is those insults, those problems with others because you stand for the truth of Jesus. I actually had somebody, I was in a conversation this week, and somebody said, Christians are Christians in convenience. When it works for us, then we'll be Christian. Or when it benefits us, then we will do this. And I replied to him and said, you know, being a Christian pastor has closed more doors to the world than it's opened. because the world doesn't want the Christian message. So when I'll be benefited by the world in this Christian message, I haven't seen it. Because when I go into the world tries to shut me down. People will try to stop the Christian message because they don't want to offend people. Well, I'll take the Christian message and usually offend somebody. But see, when people call me out and being mean and rude and not being very loving because they don't understand what true love is, well, they'll insult me. They'll call me every name under the sun. Well, the difference between a rocky ground hearer and a good ground hearer is that the good ground will stay and the false convert will constantly fall away because they are inwardly thinking. Now, the message of a false convert is never a fun one, but it's a true one. It is true because as a pastor, through my years of ministry, I've unfortunately saw false converts. People who have come into the church where I've been and they will sit there for a season, but until something better comes along, they will go. I think the problem in America is that no matter what you do, you think you're a Christian just because you're born here, and that's just guaranteed to you. But unfortunately, I see all too many times more people golfing on Sunday morning than studying the scriptures. And that breaks my heart. Why this is important, why I need to say this, is because I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to be a church that produces false converts. I mean, if you want an emotional response, hopefully that's because Jesus has stepped on your toes. I mean, if you want a smoke machine, there's plenty of churches that do that. But I'd much rather have the gospel than a smoke machine. See, I want to be a church that produces the good ground hearers. I want to be a church that produces this group that is going to produce fruit 30, 60, and 100 times more. This good ground that took the word that was sown to them and they dig deep into the teachings of Jesus, the doctrines of Jesus. The ones that are thriving to know more. The ones that are wanting to know more. And the ones that are wanting to go and spread more seed. As I said last week, I believe we are all called to be sowers and reapers. Just might not be the same seed. But we are all called to go and to spread the gospel. We are all called to go and to water the seed that had already been planted by somebody else. And we are all called to go and to reap when it's ready for harvest. See, when we are the good ground, when our church is planted in the good ground, we are all those who will work to sow that good seed, the seed that will produce the good fruit. When we send people out on mission trips, when we send our youth out to college, into high school, and anywhere else, they are producing this good fruit. But it doesn't just take one to do it. It takes us all. As we know, the Bible talks that we are a believer, that we are the body of believers, and we have to work together. And if we're messing up, our signals are getting crossed, that's going to expand into the world. Now, I will say this. I am not perfect. I never claim to be perfect. but I got a God who is perfect. A God who said, take up my yoke. A God who is working with me and pushing me. And as we look at being these good ground hearers, he will work in us. And he will push us. And he will drive us to only produce good fruit. That is the challenge that we have. Now, I will say, I'll tell you, there have been many, many false converts. People who have rejected Jesus. Immediately they fall away because something happens, but I don't want to see that anymore. Unfortunately, I know it's going to happen, but I don't want to see it. And it's going to take all of us to make sure that everything that comes out of this church, that doesn't happen. But again, I know my limitations, so you're all going to have to help me out. Question is, are you going to help me out? Are we going to be the church that drives the gospel? Are we going to take it as far as we can? Until that day, we open our eyes and God says, well done, you good and faithful servant. Now, I could just be up here just saying these words and you could be hearing them. As Jesus said, let anyone who hears or has ears, let him listen. Like I said, I hope to challenge you all. I want to challenge you all. I want to make sure that as I say these words, your ears aren't clogged with wax. That you're hearing these words and you're not going to turn away because you're like, oh, that's too much for me. It's not. It takes prayer. It takes our prayer warriors to pray for the loss. It takes those to just wear Jesus on your sleeve to show love. And it takes those to speak the words. As I look out, I know a lot of your strengths. Because I've been here for a while now. I know what you're good at. I know the prayer warriors. I know the talkers. I know the lovers. The ones that will just love you to Jesus. And that's how we work as a body. I can't walk with my hands. My hands know that. And it takes us all. It takes us all to be the body. So I'm going to close in prayer today, as I do every Sunday. But as I close with this, I want you again, if you have ears, to hear this lesson. And ask yourself, what ground was your seed thrown on? Maybe you need to change your soil. Maybe you need to get right with Jesus and be a good ground hearer, one that produces fruit. And let us steer clear from that rocky ground. But do everything we can to make sure that ground is good. It'll take us all, but we can do it. Because just remember, all this started when 12 guys up inside a room that had this supernatural event happen, and they went and they started all of this stuff with their leader who ascended. As they prayed in that upper room, they changed the world. We can do the same thing, because there's more than 12 of us in here, and there's generations in here. Let's do something for Jesus. Father God, as we come to you in closing, Father, I'm just so thankful that you are a God who will push us, who will move us, who will make us the best that we can be. And Father, I do pray that if there's anyone in here that needs to change their life, that needs to work harder, let them do that today. Maybe there's somebody in here that doesn't know you, that wants to accept this life as a Christian. Father, I pray if there's anyone in here that they will let that be known. Father, I thank you that you have not limited salvation based upon our works, but you have given it to us as a gift that we can have if we call upon your name and are saved. Father, you have given us a great gift and allow us to produce fruit that is worthy of that gift. Let us go out and to produce this fruit. Let us love, let us pray, let us speak. But God, let us listen. Let our ears be open. Let us hear your words and not let them go void in our life. Father, I thank you and I praise you, and it's in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Would you please stand?